Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No icing here. Holden, long left wing feed to Donato, and the horn sounds. The Tampa Bay Lightning victorious, coming from behind today here in Game 5. Record a 3-1 victory over the Boston Bruins. They win the last four games of this series and eliminate the Bruins in five in the second round. The Lightning onto the Eastern Conference Finals.
I like where the chanting picks up. Come on. Season Bruins music.
I feel like I'm at Carver at King Richard's Fair.
You always say that. You always use that reference.
Eat a turkey leg. Hello there, fair madam. Here we go,
like
Billy.
Monks, it's like monks chanting. There it is. Billy Jaffe is with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Billy.
Beetle.
How you doing?
How you doing? I'm good, man. I'm
all
great.
Right, let's start from the beginning.
Were
let's
you at Secaucus?
I was for a week, yeah.
Start from the beginning. Your reaction and thoughts on the Bruins losing the series in the fashion they did, 4-1.
Disappointed, no question about it. I was hoping for a longer run. We already discussed on the phone about the officiating last week when I was with you guys, and it definitely had an impact. It was not the reason that the Bruins lost the series, but it definitely had an impact in the series, and that's just unacceptable. NHL has to figure that out. But when it's all, you know, the Bruins got to figure some things out too. I think that they recognized while their regular season, and by the way, none of the players that have been around thought that just because they were at times dominant in the regular season that meant that success was going to happen come playoff time. But I think they recognized the fact that they had a learning experience, and they have to improve in certain areas if they want to take the next step next year. But yeah, Beetle, disappoint. I said on your show, I wanted them to get to the Eastern Final. I wanted to see them get there.
We talked about that probably, what, about a month ago?
Right before the playoff? Yeah. And you asked me, you said, what would you, you know, what's not acceptable? You said, what are your expectations where you're satisfied? And I said, well, Eastern Final. Tampa was the better team. You've heard that ad nauseum already. You've heard that repetitively. They were, and they were better, especially defensively. It was not in my opinion, it was not the offense. It was the defense of Tampa Bay between Hedman, Strahlman, McDonough, and even Dan Girardi. And then the team defense. But starting with those four guys, in particular the top three, that were the biggest difference in the series, especially going from Toronto, which had one defenseman in Morgan Rielly, to three big horses in Tampa.
Do you think the extension of the first series, going a full seven, impacted the Bruins going into the next series?
No, I don't. Well, I say that now we see the litany of injuries that have come out.
And we haven't been banging on that point a lot, but now that I'm looking at this list, and this is a success. I'm going to read these tweets. There are one, two, three, seven. Seven of these tweets in succession from the Bruins Twitter account today.
Somebody clipped them all together. Yeah.
It's great. It goes like this. Brad Marchand dealt with a groin injury over the final 6-7 games of the playoffs. Will not need surgery. Brandon Carlo, with his broken ankle, says he feels fantastic and should be walking in another week or so. Says he will absolutely be ready for camp.
By the way, they missed him more. I will admit it. I thought that they would, you know, he's a regular defenseman and could miss him some. You know, they missed him more than even I realized. And that, to me, screams hope, because his last 3 weeks before he got injured, he's significantly different player than he was for the earlier part of the year.
Rielly Nash says that he suffered a concussion when he took a puck to the ear late in the regular season. I mean, we knew of that injury. That's gross.
Did they have the hip injury in there too?
Nope.
I don't think so.
He has also been dealing with a hip injury. And that, to me, explains some of his methodical type play in the playoffs.
Tingly hip.
Zdeno Chara says he dealt with an upper body injury during the playoffs.
And he had a broken finger, too, later in the playoffs. And so it was a shoulder that he hurt in Carolina.
Shoulder, broken finger.
Well, finger would technically be upper body, wouldn't it, too?
Yeah.
I mean, you serious, wouldn't it?
Right. It means above the waist.
Yeah, there was another report that he had a broken finger somewhere.
Jake DeBrusque suffered an AC joint sprain in the second round against Tampa.
Those stink.
That one hurts, right?
Those
that's a lot of pain.
That's what made him look slower.
Because he can't get to the inside. You can't use your shoulder to drive through.
You can't push. You can't lunge.
Yeah. And he didn't look like the same player the last couple of games.
No. The speed was gone.
Yeah.
Torrey Krug, as we knew, suffered that bad ankle injury. It's a fractured ankle.
Broken, yeah.
He will wear a boot for two months.
He'll be okay, though. No surgery.
Boot for 2 months. Does not need surgery. We spent a decent amount of time yesterday trying to trade Torrey Krug. That probably won't help the trade chances.
Well, 2 months. I mean, he'll be. That's you're talking June, July.
He'll be fine. Okay. Yeah. No surgery.
Well, wait. I'm not talking about trading. I'm just saying he'll be fine.
Yeah,
we're trying to trade him.
Yeah. Not because we think he's a bad player.
Because we think he's a good player.
Yeah. And there might be something to get back in a deal like that. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that in a moment.
I was playing with my gum over here.
Patrice Bergeron missed Game 4 against Toronto with concussion-like symptoms. Also dealing with a groin issue. He went on to explain that he was dealing with a cold at the same time, so they were very cautious with that, and they thought possibly he was suffering with concussion-like symptoms. It turns out it was more the cold.
Yeah. Remember, cold makes you sluggish. And here's the thing.
Or groggy or whatever.
Remember the game before he got hit hard by Plekanec? There was the shoulder-to-shoulder, shoulder-to-side contact.
Looked like he saw the square to me.
But his head snapped back and everything, and therefore, I give the Bruins and their medical staff huge marks in this regard, because this is, you know, it's a decision that, because he wasn't diagnosed with one, they could have waited. And I guarantee you, Patrice Bergeron said, I'm okay, but, and they said, no, not going to take that chance. Good for them. Good for Patrice, too. And then that, remember he said, I have to talk them back into it. Remember, there was that comment made, you know, he expects to play, assuming he can basically talk them into it.
Right.
And it turns out to be that cold that was bothering him as much. So how about the fact that he's playing with a groin injury all year long? He heard it before the season. Remember, he missed a few, then he started playing. A lingering groin issue. Oh, my God, for a hockey player. And yet he still played top-level, all-star-type quality hockey. Could win another Selke. Was for a while up for the Hart Trophy as the league's most valuable player. Guy's special. I understand that I'm telling you, he's at such a different level than most other guys in the league.
With that being the case, that all these injuries were ongoing issues for the Bruins.
Hold on, Nola Chari, too.
This
hernia.
Nola Chari, sports hernia. He played
since
through
November.
That. Yeah, so he's going out.
That's
with,
absolutely it, insane, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's balls. That's okay. Guts.
Now, this is the story for pretty much every team this time of year. This happens all the time. This always happens at the end. You find out everything that everybody's playing with. This is no excuse for the Bruins for the way they played against Tampa Bay, and they're not using it as an excuse.
No.
I would just say that knowing all of this now and getting a better idea of what the picture is, they could have benefited from closing out Toronto. They could have.
There's no question they could have. Also, from an angst perspective of, oh, Jesus, we don't have to go to Game 7 type of thing. There's no question, but it's an easy game to play, but would it have made a difference against Tampa? Even, let's say they were finishing six. Let's call that middle ground. Not five, but they call it six. I don't know if it would have. Hindsight being 20/20.
Okay, well, let's go back to last Friday night. If they don't get hosed by the refs, game doesn't go to overtime, and you've got a different looking series.
That's different.
And one of your other games looks different because you had some rest and you were better prepared to play in the series. Maybe we're talking about Bruins and Lightning going to a Game 7.
Maybe. For sure, Game 6, obviously.
Yeah, but maybe
it was four goal games.
Right?
I got to tell you something, though. I got to tell you something. They were tight, but there were so many times, even in Game 1, fellas, when the Bruins won, they finished. They did not dominate the game. What they dominated in was finishing. They did not dominate in chances. They did not dominate in zone time. They did not. They won 6-2, and a lot of it had to do, first of all, Vasilevskiy, to me, if he doesn't get his game straightened out, I don't think Tampa's going past the next round. He's got to get better. I know we're going to go to break here. I'm just telling you this. I don't think that he ended up being the difference. I think the Bruins in that game won, Beetle. I don't think that they dominated as much, perhaps, as the scoreboard.
All right, Billy Jaffe is with us. Coming up next, a look ahead into what could be for the Bruins offseason, what needs to happen, what should happen, what could help this team going forward, whose contract is a problem, who needs to be traded. Does Billy agree or disagree with us that Torrey Krug would be a good trade candidate? We will get into all of this and your calls, of course, on the Bruins. 617-779-0985. That's next.
Are they aliens?
Zulak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This brings the show to a whole new level.
What?
Not the music.
Okay, you're hosting. Go.
Me bringing it back from break.
Give the time.
There you go.
Hey, 11:18.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, I know. I've done this before. I just don't want.
Excuse me.
I just don't want to. You know, step on this guy's toes over here.
Nope.
But you know what? I've never done before, Zoe? Hosted a show with you.
We didn't do one in the summer.
No, we've never done it.
I swear to God, I did one with him.
I don't think you did.
Ooh. No, you and I never did. We need to. I'd love to do one with Beatle, too, but then I wouldn't be able to host.
This summer, because we stagger our vacays, pal.
I know. Where are your vacays coming? Are you guys know where you're going yet?
The entire month of July.
Really?
Yeah. So Zoe will take off every Friday between June and August.
Can you blame him?
Yep.
No, I guess not.
That's not go time. We work when it's go time.
So we got to put in our days for after Patriots preseason games, don't we?
Well, there's three Fridays.
There's three Fridays, so we don't even really have that thing this year.
Well, there's two Thursday games, so maybe three Fridays.
Three Fridays you got to put in for.
Yeah.
We don't come to work after those.
So you got two comp days already rolling, so you already just really only put in for one Friday.
I used those up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I went away in March for a couple of days. Remember
that? That's right. Okay.
Those are gone.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Yeah. Mm. But you can use yours. Have at it. Thank All right, you. Billy Jaffe is with us. Billy, trade Torrey Krug, yay or nay?
Well, that's for what? For what?
Well, to use his $5 million to go get.
Okay, wait a second. Trade.
We got calls for get a guy like Callahan.
He's instantly pissed at us about this.
No, I'm not instantly.
Yes, you are.
No,
yes,
you
are.
Give me the trade.
No, let me just tell you this. Are you open to trading Torrey Krug?
I'm open to trading most everybody.
I think you're taking
well,
calls.
Tell us what. Who's untouchable? Let's do it in reverse.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't you trade on this team?
Bergeron?
Yep.
Rochand?
Always starts with him.
Pastrnak? Yep. Wouldn't trade McAvoy? Not trading Chara. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, that one's not even worth really discussing.
Right, right.
I mean, so you already had five guys. So keep going.
That's my...
Donato?
I'd say no, because I need to know... I love Ryan Donato, but, you know, we're talking about... If you're bettering your team by bringing in a top defenseman,
yes,
which is what we all agree that needs to be done, you're giving something up.
What if it's a more solid defenseman, not necessarily a great player, but
Again, here we are,
top four guy.
It has to be top four.
Left-handed shot,
right. I understand.
And you can trade Krug,
but it's a domino too. It's a domino too because it makes your goalie better.
Do you do it?
If the trade brings back an optional defenseman that can play the 20 to 24 minutes full. You've discussed it. I've discussed it with other people too. I'm open to trading. You're going to give something up from your roster, and Torrey Krug, using him as an example, could be attractive given his offensive instincts, his ability to produce, his salary that he signed for the next couple of years. So you know what you're getting. And there are teams out there that would say, wait a second, we already have two defensemen that can do the certain type of thing. Let's see if we can add that offensive element. I'd also be scared to give him up, given how he can create from the back end, too. I would be. But if you get a guy, you know, they need more offense from McAvoy. There's no doubt about it. They need him to shoot more. They need him to be involved more. And I think he will. But I understand that there's a potential to trade somebody like a Torrey Krug, given his attractiveness on the market.
Yeah, you got
to
give up something to get something.
Yeah, I'm with
it. That's what it comes down to.
I'm okay. See, but just to say, go ahead, trade Torrey Krug. I'm like, for what? If you want a top four guy, yeah, you're going to have to consider it.
Frank the Tank on Krug. What
Frank,
do you got?
What's Frank, what's up?
Hey, first off, Billy, I want to thank you. I never got to thank you for the kind words about purchasing a home.
A new house.
Tewksbury is a fine town. Also, excellent job this year, all year long, coming on the show. But look, you know, people need to decide, you know, Budweiser or Bud Light. Did the referees help or not help the Bruins lose the series? I believe they helped the Bruins lose at least one game, not the series. But if they extended it, you never know what could have happened. So that's what pisses me off there. In terms of Torrey Krug, I've been open to trading him for the past year and a half. I believe he's one of your better assets. Who for? I don't know, okay? But that's John Sweeney's job. Now, if he's quick to get his head out of his ass, you know, from what he did with the Rick Nash trade, which he should have never traded for him, he was Jaromir Jagr 2.0 for this team. He should have just stayed pat and... Not traded for him. He would have done better trading that. That's his job to find another defenseman. What they need is a guy who's a 2-3 who can play those minutes. That's what they need. Somebody who doesn't have to move the puck. But
no, you need. I disagree.
Solid.
You need a puck mover. No, you need. You
got those, Billy.
You need a puck. I'm sorry. In this day and age, you still need to be able to move the puck. So I get what you're.
Well,
I get what you're saying. You need a top two pair D men. I get. I'm with you on that.
There's only two defensemen on the ice at a time, Billy. How many guys are going to be moving the puck? You've got McAvoy. You've got Grizzlick who can move the puck. You need that one other guy. The only other guy there is Krug. You got to get rid of him. He's making too much money, and he's a good trade chip. I'd even look to trade Krejci if you could.
Oh, you know me. I've been trying to trade Krejci for years now, Billy.
Yeah, I know.
I've been trying to move on from him.
Well, he's got one more year of the no trade. And then he has a modified no trade, I believe, afterwards.
Not nice.
You know what? Just because he has a no trade, though, doesn't mean you can't trade him.
Of course. You need approval, though.
You just need to get it approved.
Right.
And more often than not, I feel as
what if David Pastrnak? What if they move David Pastrnak to play with David Krejci? Which was the original plan.
Yeah, I mean,
and you have DeBrusk, Pastrnak.
Here we are again.
With Krejci.
Giving in to Krejci, really, just always complaining his entire career.
What are you talking about?
Okay,
but look.
True or false?
There was no complaining this year.
There wasn't. But his entire career.
Two summers ago, he bitched
the guy
about.
He's been talking about who's on his line.
Yeah.
He's always been that guy.
Two summers ago.
Okay, fine. But take him out. I'm the one that's saying it. He didn't bitch and complain this year.
I don't want to break up that top line. That top line is something special. I don't want to break that up. No, I'm against it.
I will say that I thought they were going to eventually put Pastrnak with Krejci this year. And then I think Bruce Cassidy thought he would, too. And then he found that beautiful mix of those guys up top. And then he couldn't afford to.
Because it was so damn good.
Yeah. I still think that there's a chance that he might try and mix. We've seen other teams do it in the past. Philadelphia had the greatest line in the world. They were all scoring 75 to 100 points or whatever. And then they had to split them up to get better and make the playoffs. It happens.
Let's go to Jake, who's up in Andover.
By the way,
Jake.
Thanks, Frank, for the call.
Yes, so, as always.
Yeah. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jake.
Just wanted to drop a couple things on the defenseman as you're talking about. So my first point, obviously, you know, I'll get to the Krug in a second, but I think number one is that they cannot, and I know it's a very general opinion, I feel like most people feel this way, Chara can no longer have these first-time minutes, and we really got to move him back to possibly a supplementary role. I mean, I like him because he has the veteranship. He has the leadership. He has all the old skill. He's able to angle guys into the corner away from the puck. He's able to be the big body pushing guys away from the front of the net. But as you saw in most of these games against Austin Matthews, Stamkos, Kucherov, he's getting turned around. And, I mean, as much as we want to reveal about his, you know, his 7-foot reach, it's not cutting it anymore. And I really think that that's, you know, one of the big priorities. In terms of the Krug trade, as much as I want to say, you know, we want a snapshot defenseman, I mean, I'm still crying that we lost Johnny Boychuk with his rocket shot. But I think that if you get someone like Krug and you're able to get a stud defenseman, and like you said, you know, we might have to give a little to get a little, you know, you give a prospect possibly, mm-hmm. you know, like Ryan Donato or someone like that with a Krug package, you can get a guy maybe like, I'm not, obviously, these guys are studs, but, you know, just hypothetical. Like a Carlson, like a Duncan Keith, like some of these.
Wait. Duncan Keith, I'm sorry, he had an awful year.
No.
Oh.
I cut him off.
Wait.
Yeah.
He's saying maybe he's saying somebody like that, but at 30-something years old, you're not going to trade for Duncan Keith, giving up two guys in their 20s or, you know. I guess I get, what was his name, Jake? What was his name?
Jake,
yeah.
Jake DeBrusk.
Yeah. With regard to the minutes, Jake, for Chara, yeah, you definitely want to see them brought back to a certain, I don't have a number, 19, 20.
The
You'd
Chara complaining
but the
blows my mind.
It blows my mind. He shut down Austin Matthews and he shut down the top line of Tampa.
And it's like never happened.
Yeah.
And this is not limited to one guy.
Right.
This is a crew of people. I don't know who they are.
Watching,
I ranted about it yesterday.
You know why?
I'm trying not to do it again.
Hey, you know why?
I don't get it.
Because he doesn't look pretty doing it. He doesn't look it. Look, and
gets
you know what,
the job
and you
done.
And you know what's going to happen too? He's going to make a mistake. This chair is driving me crazy. Was this your chair, Zola?
Yeah,
you broke it. It just isn't pretty because it isn't fluid and small and meaning everything. You know, he's a big man that is going to absolutely make a mistake here or there. Happens. Breaking news. It happens to everybody. And he happens to be out there against the best players all the time. So why, you know, if he's going to make a mistake against the other team's best players and get exposed, but yet he does it a lot less than he makes a good play, I don't get why people hold it against him. He isn't going to be a speed demon back there. But I don't disagree with Jake. You want to keep bringing the minutes back a little bit here and there. You know, the question becomes this. Can you get a top four guy? Now the question becomes is, after seeing what you saw to Carlo later in the year, do you put Carlo and Chara back together and form that pair that plays a little bit less minutes but still goes out there an awful lot against teams' better players and penalty kill first unit too? And then who do you get with Charlie McAvoy to get that stud pair? That could happen too. I mean, but well, I don't know what his second comment was. Oh, about trading for – of course, Jackie, give something to get some. You're right. You're dead on that.
Let's go to another call. With Andy and Brockton. Hey, Andy.
Go.
Yeah, I just want to talk about why I think Tampa won the trade deadline that ultimately led to them winning the series. If you look at the numbers, Rick Nash was minus -6 this playoffs, which was the worst
seven.
On the team.
I thought seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
Seven. And we gave up a first-round pick for that clown. That could have been the next Pasternak.
How excited were you when they made that deal, though? Seriously.
What was that, I'm sorry?
When you heard that you were acquiring Rick Nash at that time, how excited were you for what you thought potentially this could be?
Ryan McDonough.
Okay, but McDonough, you would have given up a ton more, and I think the Bruins probably kicked tires on that one, and they probably would have wanted DeBrusque. Probably would have wanted him or somebody, you know, Donato, DeBrusque, first
round. I just
remember
people going nuts when Nash was acquired.
Yeah, not everybody did. Yeah. Not everybody. Look, I still give them – Of course you give up the first round pick, and I know I understand what Adam was just saying about you never know, could have been the next Pasternak. You're right, it could have been. But wait a second, he wanted McDonough. You would have given up your first round pick, you would have given a second round pick, you would have given up the DeBrusque, you would have given up a lot more. I understand the deal didn't work out. And you know what? I'm disappointed too. I thought Rick Nash, given his time in his career, would have brought a little more. He had two games, in particular, game one of the playoffs, where I was like, holy smokes, I haven't seen that before out of Rick Nash. And I'm like, he's going to push it. This is his big opportunity. And he didn't, except one other time in game one against Tampa. And yeah, I'm disappointed. I absolutely was disappointed.
More with Billy Jaffe coming up after Headlines with Hardy.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Another chance to close out the Sixers tonight, this time at the TD Garden. It's Game 5, Celtics with the 3-1 series lead. No Shane Larkin tonight, dealing with a shoulder injury. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell bring us the latest, starting at 7:30 with the pregame right here on your flagship station for the Celtics, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Red Sox lost to the Yankees 3-2 in New York last night. Tonight, no David Price on the mound. He was sent back to Boston to take a look at the numbness, the stinginess in his fingers and hand and whatnot. So Rick Porcello will get the start opposite Masahiro Tanaka. Bruins now letting us know what's been going on with them injury-wise. After their season ended, David Backes says he's still feeling some of the effects from the concussion he suffered from the JT Miller hit in the final game of the season. Jake DeBrusque played through the playoffs with a sprained AC joint in his shoulder. And Patrice Bergeron said he's dealing with a groin issue on and off throughout the season, caused him to miss some games. Headlines are brought to you by the Panera Bread Time and... that doesn't even make any sense. It's brought to you by Spectrum, America's fastest growing TV, internet, and voice company. It's hiring field technicians, great benefits, 17 weeks paid training. jobs.spectrum.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
God. I could hardly believe it when I heard the news today.
Oh, God. You know, I usually count on Zoe to get infatuated with whatever's going on TV.
I was like,
Billy,
what is
I never would have expected you to fall victim to that.
Well, there was this talk show on, and I'm like, what is that? And I said,
you're with me. I thought it was RuPaul when it started.
And then it was.
It's Wendy Williams.
And it's Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton is. I mean,
By the way, he was a huge star, huh?
Dude, he was the greatest hits, man.
Daytime TV blows. Big problem.
It's daytime TV. When you never had a date, like, you don't listen to Michael Bolton if you're a dude.
Oh, here comes the. Here's where it really picks up, guys. Ready?
Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of every time I hear it?
Yeah.
Zach Morris and Kelly Kapowski breaking up. That's more my generation than yours?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is either.
Saved by the Bell.
Oh, that's right.
That just sucked. Yeah.
It stayed in the same classroom all the time. You couldn't even
I thought Jimmy was playing this song because this is my last, you know, for now, for a few months
for a
maybe.
While, yeah.
I thought this was how you guys were feeling.
No, it is. Well, it is. It's an emotional day. It's breakup day, you know?
So there you go. Exactly, whatever.
Tell us about your injuries.
Well, how about in a little bit, we're going to talk about Marchand.
Yeah, we're going to
what he spoke to the media. He was strong. Strong.
I don't believe him. I don't believe a word he says. And that's okay. We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. Andrew's in Tampa today. Andrew.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Andrew.
What's up?
So, first of all, that song coming in from the break there reminds me of Tommy Boy when they refused to change the radio station. That's just me, though.
That's Carpenters, bro.
Yeah, that was the Carpenters.
Carpenters.
But, okay.
Yeah, I'm calling in about Torey Krug trade idea. I want to throw by Jaffe. You know, it's going to be tough to trade Krug, though, because his contract.
You got Callahan brake pads on. Hold on.
Beatles got a Callahan brake pad shirt on.
I do.
And you just went with Tommy Boy reference.
Yes.
Dude, that's... Wow. Wow.
Yeah, what's your trade again?
Krug's got a no-trade clause coming up, kicking in for the last 2 years of his deal, so it's got to happen pretty soon. So I have a trade with Minnesota for restricted free agent Matt Dumba, throw in Charlie Coyle from them, and try to get rid of Backes and a prospect. You know, what do you think about that?
Okay, Backes, a prospect,
and
Krug
from the Bruins,
and Minnesota sends back...
You're one of their top defensemen and Charlie Coyle, local kid.
Like it, good deal.
Yo,
let's do it.
There you go. Take $11.5 million.
$11.5 million in salary in the process. Yes.
Yeah, I don't...
I do that deal.
Yeah, maybe, you know, I'm heading down to Tampa tomorrow.
Yeah,
maybe we can talk about it when I'm down there.
Get whatever he's having. That's what I would say.
Nah, I don't see that. I you know, especially the way Dumba played in the playoffs.
Mark in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, Billy. This is just hypothetical, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Would Torey Krug, David Krejci, say Tuukka Rask / like a Brandon Carlo be enough for Ottawa to give up Carlson? And I have another question.
Here's the thing. Ottawa, you got to remember something, Mark, is a team that doesn't want to spend money. So you're basically saying take $7 million for Tuukka. You're saying $5.5 million for Krug, right? Five or $5.5 million. And who was the other one that you threw in there? Krejci?
I said Krejci / or Carlo.
Oh, so you're talking of, I mean, if you're going to play this hypothetical game, no, I don't see that happening. I see it being, for anything like Erik Karlsson, I see it being, they're going to ask for Carlo, they're going to ask for McAvoy, DeBrusk, Donato, first round pick.
No.
Well, yeah.
But my second question is, I heard, is it true about, is there a $2 to $2.5 million buyout on David Backes? In his contract?
What? Can't be.
No.
Unless something else is happening here. No, he's got 3 years left, and it's at six a year. And any player that gets bought out has to be bought out at, what, two-thirds of their deal, and then you amortize it over double the term. So if he has 3 years left, you have buyout, and then but you have to pay it over 6 years. So David isn't going anywhere. By the way, David stated, I saw him walking around the locker room, had a smile on his face, but then I didn't have time to stay and hear him talk to the media. He says he's still not feeling well after that hit.
Huh.
He says he's not feeling well.
Oh, you know, now
he was in Zippy Land.
Billy, if you figure that math, the two-thirds of 3 years remaining would be about a little over $4.5 million a year, or close to $5 million a year, like $4.7, $4.8 million. You divide it over not six, the three, term, double but the term. Six. You're looking right. at about $2.5 million a year for 6 years. Okay. So yeah, that's okay. It's not $2.5 million total.
Right.
It's $2.5 million mark, and so
over 6 years.
That's what you heard.
You'd have
$2.5 million a year on your cap for dead, 6 more seasons.
Right. You'd have dead money of $2.5 million a year. So thank Mark. That number is correct, but not just a one time thing. But David is still not feeling well. He says he's not feeling right, but he looked good in the sense of. At least he, I was concerned he wouldn't be there. You know what I mean? Like, he took such a hit there, but he was there, smiling. I saw him talking to a few people, and then afterwards, when he talked to the media, said, still off a bit.
Alan Carver. Hey, Al.
It's me.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Hey, Al.
What's up, Al?
Yes, sir. I apologize. I've been waiting to talk. Bill Jaffe, real quick. My son got stolen because I absolutely not so crazy of a move. That the last gentleman had in mind, but yeah, we need a positive point, man. That's good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we that's what we need, unfortunately. But I don't want to give up McAvoy. You don't want to give up. We don't want to give up these kids. You know,
right? And that's what they're going to ask for.
Yeah,
that's totally what they're going to ask for.
Exactly. That's what's going to happen. And so I'm thinking, unfortunately, maybe a bigger deal. Meaning, as far as players go from us. To get something, rather than do away with the youth that we have, we definitely have.
Right, you want to hang on to all those young players, Al.
Well, there's a chance if you make a move that you're going to be moving one of your youth. There's gonna be that.
You want to do your best to hang on to them, though.
As many as you can, of course.
As many as you can.
Of course, you've accrued
it. And McAvoy is a non-starter.
Of course.
You're not talking about trading him. Coming up next, let's hear from Brad Marchand, who spoke a short time ago this morning as the Bruins hold their breakup day. We will hear from him because he talks about the need to change. Does he mean it? Are you buying it? We'll hear from the player himself next.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of news.
Beadle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 Sports Hub.
I think it's probably affecting him, you know, him getting the calls at times. And, he realized that. I think. What's unfortunate also sometimes it's, you know, when you know him how well, like, when you know him on a level that we all know him as players and teammates, it's unfortunate because he's a great guy and, you know, we all love him. And, and sometimes the rest of the world, I guess, don't get to see that side of him.
That's Patrice Bergeron talking about his teammate Brad Marchand saying that he feels bad for the way he's acted, that it's unfortunate because they know how great of a guy he is as his teammates, as you just heard Patrice Bergeron say. Mm-hmm. Brad Marchand spoke today. We're going to play a couple minutes of it. Uncut. You can hear it for yourself. You can draw your own conclusions. We will draw our conclusions and then talk about it. But here it is. Brad Marchand a short time ago.
Yeah, after having a couple days, kind of looking back on the year and seeing what's happened, you know, the last few days, I guess, with all the media and everything, I think the biggest thing for me now is to really take a pretty hard look in the mirror and realize, you know, the actions, some of the things that I'm doing have much bigger consequences than I may ever... think or really believe will come out of it. I've always been a pretty easygoing guy, and there's not a whole lot that phases me at all. So, you know, I think it's kind of gotten to the point where, especially when the last thing I ever want to do is kind of bring the embarrassment and, you know, all my teammates and the organization that I did. I have to be a lot better. And I know I said that in the past, but I think that's going to be the thing that I really work on the most. I think I've kind of gotten my game into a pretty decent spot, but you know, I got some character things and things that I've done that, you know, clearly need some fixing. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing that I take away from what's happened this last few days, to actually, you know, take a look and really understand that. you know, these things have much bigger consequences, clearly, like the situation that, you know, at the time, I didn't think that there was a big deal at all. I couldn't believe where it was going, that it was even people were talking about it. But, again, that's just a situation where you could actually really look at it and be better. And so that's the biggest thing that, yeah, I'm going to take away is, you know, it's time to kind of take a good hard look in the mirror here and fix some issues.
Okay. I almost believe you.
You don't know. You don't, though.
I almost believe you, Brad.
I do. I think so. This sounds like, guys, he's been... This isn't spoken to by, you know, a bud, you know. Sounds like, at least to me, that there's bigger implications coming from other people, whether it's management, ownership. You know, married, got a kid now. There's implications there. He talked about character
issues.
He wasn't
married, didn't he? He didn't have a kid 5 days ago?
Like, no, there's bigger issues now that come that affects you more. It's not just you alone. The image of you, the image of you and your team, the image of you and your family,
I think,
et cetera.
To a certain extent, he has irreparable image. I mean, you think of him as
his image.
What's that?
He can't fix his image.
You already know what he is. So we're already past that. Now, from him personally, he says, okay, I got some character problems that I need to change. I believe him there. Okay, he could try to change that. But you're not going to view him any different. What he has to understand is there aren't many people left in the league that have been suspended or talked to more than him. I'm talking, you know, multiple times. So now when he's build up, games are going to be refereed different on teams that you play on because of who you are. And if that's hurting his team, now it's starting to hurt him. And if he realizes that, if Cam goes and says, dude, I played hockey a long time. You played hockey. You know,
how about forget next
year will be his 10th season.
How about when
he's been around too long now?
How about Bergeron? How about forget? When I mean,
he's hurting other guys.
He's wired a certain way.
You're sitting next to him in the locker room.
He's wired a certain way.
And here's the thing:
And some people have gotten to a point where they've been able to accept it.
Yeah.
And say you take the bad with the good with Brad Marchand, and
as he said,
he's gotten himself to a pretty good spot in his career, and he's right. He's been offensively a fabulous player now for 3+ seasons. I mean, he's always been good. Now he's taken his ability to the next level and has become a truly elite offensive player. And you take the bad with the good. And if
we're at this point,
saying it doesn't do me any good. It doesn't tell me that he's changed. It just it seems a little hollow.
He hasn't changed.
We've heard this from him before.
He has not changed.
Have we not heard him say this before?
He's
got to clean it up and he's got to change?
He's been contrite after his suspensions. It just seems to me now his character is being...
Something may have been said in that meeting.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely was. And I guarantee you, not just management, but how about
We're not an expansion franchise. We're the Boston Bruins.
You know, a guy like, whether it was Bergeron, whether it was Zdeno, whether it was Backes, one of these, finally, perhaps your peer calling you out.
It was maybe a teammate that said something to him.
I would think so.
Bergeron.
I would think so.
They're inseparable, right?
The last as he just said, after reflecting the last couple of days, I think he's been hanging out, besides with his family, you know, you hang out with your teammates the last couple of days, too, before the breakout day. And I got to imagine that there have been some things said, and the Bruins have some phenomenal leaders. And I'm sure they've said little things in the past, but maybe they had a come-to-Jesus moment. Maybe. And I'm sure management did, too. And they're going to have it more. I don't disagree, Beetle, with you that he said things before. I can't sit here and tell you today it's going to be different, but he even said, and it may take some time to change. We didn't hear that clip here, but it's going to take a little time to get some things right. And I think, again, I talk about players that mature when they get married, they go to parenthood, everything. I think that has an impact on them. When you hear things from your kids about what you do, doesn't that impact you a little more?
Yeah.
Then when your buddy...
Well, you embarrass your kids.
You think your kid holds his baby.
Hey, we all do stupid things. You know what I mean?
Hey, his wife, for all we know, could be ticked off.
Maybe she was mad.
But he's even said, hey, yeah, I could detach, man. Like, and I believe him in that. Like, please don't bug me.
Even if he feels this way now, let's see it when he steps back out onto the ice.
Here's the thing. Sorry, so let me say what's
Canadians.
Let's see.
But here's the thing. This is the thing with Brad. And we did a podcast, one of our last one. We did that before this. And I said that there, too. I want Brad Marchand to be known as a freaking great player, yeah, you know, he can be a pain in the ass type of thing, and he can be whatever. I don't want it to be the other way around. This guy is such a this, oh, he's in a hell of a player. I want it to be always, he's an unbelievable top five forward in the National Hockey League, and yeah, you know what, he can be a real, you know, whatever. But when it's all said
okay,
and done,
outside of Boston now, what is his reputation?
I think right now, given the licking thing,
high scoring that
the NHL took to a big level, no question about it. And I don't get it. It was gross to me. I don't understand it, and it didn't need to happen. Like, I don't get it. You do it once, fine.
I mean, if he's trying to piss them off, he did achieve that.
Yeah.
Well, that's my point. So right now,
they did lose it over
the
that.
attention is that. And so I want his image, because I believe in him so much as a player, to be... What a great player. He is unbelievable. Yeah, he's a pain. And yeah, this, I don't want it to be first the other way around, because that means he's hurting the team more than he is helping the team as a player.
All right, Billy, so he's going to work on that during his off season. What are you going to work on during your off season? What do you got coming up?
The lawn. Well, I'll leave tomorrow for a few weeks on the road, Tampa and Washington East yeah. Conference.
So you're still doing NHL Network
and NHL Radio. I do both. I double dip there. And then after that, I don't think I'm working the cup this year. So who knows? We'll see. But a little travel, coaching a team again.
I was gonna say, you coach a team.
Yeah, I'm going to coach a team in Czech Republic again. Pro Ambition Seals team.
You're going
team.
To Czechoslovakia.
Czech Republic. It broke up some years ago, Czechoslovakia, but it's close.
We're Czech.
How long are you there for?
We are going, the actual tournament is 6 days. So I'm there for, my wife and I are going to go a few days to Amsterdam to begin.
Yes,
and
then,
Jappy. Yeah.
Get a little loose. A little high society.
Send me to the Czech Republic for a week. I'd have to be stoned to the bejesus, too. It's the only way I'm doing that.
And then we're going to... So I'm going to coach the Pro Ambition Seals team there, and then have my own hockey school. I'm doing an adult hockey camp.
You coach little baby seals?
With baby seals, right. Be careful of the baby seals. At Warrior, at the end of the summer, August 20th through 24th, wow. An adult camp, August 20th through 24th, partnering with Warrior Ice Rink, and we're doing, you have to be, 21 and over, and you get...
Not as cake?
Know how to play, but you don't have to be good. You know, so Hardy's perfect. Hardy's perfect for it.
I don't know
it.
If I'm good enough. I really don't.
We'll make you good. And we get you out there.
Come watch.
Monday through Friday. It's 1 hour, 20 minutes a night. And we'll have some beverages and some food after some of the nights. You know, we'll talk hockey. We'll break some things down and we'll just have a good time. And you can keep your gear at Warrior. We're going to have some towel service for the adults there too. So it's going to be, it's not a fantasy camp. It's going to be a working hockey school for guys, just like kids that want to work on their golf game. They go get a lesson. This is going to be a one-week hockey school for adults.
And you're doing two sessions?
Just one session.
One session.
Limiting it to only 30 players. There'll be a couple of, myself and one or two other instructors out there, but it's going to be fun. And I've done this both in Chicago and in Atlanta, wherever I've been before, and now I have time to do it in Boston.
Rubdowns?
Okay.
Maybe. Maybe we get the masseuse for you. I hope, and I hope I get to do a few shows here with you guys in the off season too.
Yeah, all right, Billy.
Nice. See you, Bill.
Gentlemen, thank you. All kidding aside, thank you for everything.
Thank you, Billy. Thank you for being here every week and for talking hockey with us. And
hey, I love you. A few weeks ago, you guys were talking beautifully about hockey. So you guys have come a long way, and I look forward to continuing for many seasons to come. Thanks, everybody.
All right, Billy. Appreciate it. Billy Jaffe, Nesson, NHL Network. You can catch him on NHL Network throughout the playoffs as they continue without the Bruins. We have a scheduling change here on this show. Brad Stevens was set to join us at 12:50. Brad Stevens will now join us at 12:20. So the head coach of the Celtics ahead.
Does he think he is?
Of Game 5 tonight at the Garden will be with us in less than 20 minutes. We're back in less than 2 minutes. Here's the headlines with Hardy.